Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And it is a great word this morning. We are in the book of Job on this 8th day of August. New beginnings, as we want to say. Just grateful that God has given us another day. He didn't have to, but he did. So thank God this morning that he woke you up. Thank God this morning that he gave you another day. Thank God this morning that no thieves broke in and no fires broke out in your household. Thank God that he gave you peaceful rest. Thank God that he put breath back in your body, because somebody didn't wake up today. But you are one of the ones that did. So I'm having my little horse moment, but it's all right, and I'm all good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, giving my voice, giving my mind, giving my spirit all to you, God. Use me for your glory. Lord God, it decrease me as you increase. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But Father God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I cannot and I will not do anything without you, God. I lift up all my situations and give them to you and ask you, Lord God, what is the best way to go. Let everything I do be honorable in your sight, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray, believing, trusting, and knowing that there is no other God but you. Amen. Saying hallelujah this morning. Woo, glory to God. I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be awake on this gloomy day where I live. It's a gloomy day. But you know what? I'm going to be a happy camper. I'm going to praise God in the midst of the rain, because you know what? Even in the midst of my tall grass, because my lawnmower is not working again, it just breaks your heart when you know that you put a lot of investment in equipment for your house, and then it breaks. You know, but I know that my daddy God can fix it. I know that my daddy God is in charge of it, and I know my grass is going to get cut this week. I'm not worried. I know that God's already put it in place and already put the plans together for my grass to get cut. I'm believing God for it. I'm believing God is going to do it. Yes, he will. I'm trusting him, and I'm believing him. He already has made a way for me. On last week, God came in and made a way to get something I needed done. On yesterday, God gave me insight that if I need something else done, it's already taken care of, that I already have someone to take the situation and run with it. God has already put in place everything that I need. I'm believing God for it. So I'm believing God for my grass to get cut and for my lawnmowers to be repaired, and that they're going to give me a discount since they've had my lawnmower, one of them anyway, for over 6 months. It's ridiculous. You know, come on now. The cutting season is almost over, and I haven't got my lawnmower back yet. But I know that God will and can make a way. So I'm lifting up the situation and putting it on the platter for God to handle. Because, again, God's in charge, and I am just his humble servant. But we're going to get into the word this morning, because as we get into chapter 7 of the book of Job, Job is speaking. He's speaking to his friends. He's responding to their criticism. You know, and as we go into this word in chapter 6, Job comes back to refute what his friends are saying. You know, when you got friends that don't come and go tell you all about yourself, but not looking at they said, Eliphaz, the Temanite, talking to Job and even told Job, you know, obviously you must have done something for God to do what he's doing to you. When we already know, just from our word this morning, that you don't have to do anything. Hey, if you forget to bring your umbrella and it rains on you, guess what? The other person who forgets their umbrella, it rains on them too. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And if you remember to bring your umbrella and you have your umbrella up, it's raining on you. You just have a covering. Come on now. Y'all know God is our covering. Even though it's raining on all of us, God is your covering. He's your umbrella. God says, I got you. And so I know that whatever's going on, God is still my covering. Even whatever Job was going through, God opened the door, but he could not kill him. God was his covering to save his life. God covered Job, even when he was in excruciating pain, even in the boils popping up, even in the ashes, whatever he was going through. Filthy, dirty, and still, he did not curse God, as his wife said, and he didn't die because God had put a covering around his life. Come on now. Even in that mercy, God had put a covering around his life. God has put a covering around your life. God is giving you your umbrella during the rain. Hallelujah. And your boat during the flood. We got to understand that all things work together for good for those that trust in the Lord. And that's what we said yesterday. All things work together for good for those who love God. Let me get it right. For those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So I'm going to get that scripture correct. You know, all things work together for good for those who love God. Do you love God? You know, as Mary mentioned, you don't love God, what's wrong with you? I love God. You don't love God, what's wrong with you? We got to love the Lord because he loves us and he has given us everything we need. So let's get into this word this morning. For those that are just joining this moving forward experience, this is Bible study. We read the word of God, and my assignment is to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. We started on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 on January 1st. And God willing, and the creek don't rise, and God continues to give me breath and life, I will be with you on December the 31st as we finish up Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. Chapter 22, verse 21. I'm going to be right here with this word to finish my assignment that God has given me for this year. And for this year, he also gave me the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James, is where I'm coming from. And again, not getting paid by In Touch Ministries or any affiliate of Dr. Charles Stanley to hawk this Bible, but I will tell you, this Bible is one of the best Bibles I've ever had for study. It is fantastic. And Dr. Stanley, with his answers to life questions and life lessons and life examples, all these things make the word come alive in you. It shows you and it gives you a little more instruction than some study Bible. So I'm grateful for this word. And my goal, again, my assignment, 1 year, this Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. There are times where I will come out of other versions of the Bible. I will come out of King James. I will come out of the Christian Standard Bible, Holman's Christian Standard Bible. There are times I will come out of my Women's Study Bible, or I may even come out of my Greek and Hebrew translated Bible. So I will come out of different Bibles, but our core Bible is this one. So if you don't have it in your biblical arsenal, you need to get it, because we do not fight against flesh and blood. Again, we fight against principalities. And the best way to fight against a principality is with the Word of God. So we need to get this Word, let it permeate in your mind. But God's Word tells us to meditate on it day and night. That's what we're doing. We're meditating on the Word. We're tasting and see that this Word is good. So let's get started in the Word. So hopefully everybody has their Bible, because, again, this is Bible study. So we are in Job chapter 7 through chapter 8, verse 22, Psalm 92, 8 through 15, the 92nd Psalm, verses 8 through 15, Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. Our title comes out of Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. So let's get started. And I pray that all are enjoying what we do, because I don't do it for any self-aggrandizement. I do it because God has given it to me as an assignment. And believe me, I paid to do this out of my own pocket. I don't ask for donations. I don't ask for anything. I do this because I love God, and I'm just sharing my time with Him, with you. So let's get started. And it says this in Job chapter 7. Is there not a time of hard service for a man on earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hired man? Like a servant who earnestly desires the shade, and like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages. So I have been allotted months of fertility, and worrisome nights have been appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be ended. For I have had fear of tossing till dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is caked, is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shadow, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. The eye of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be, as the cloud disappears and vanishes away. So he who goes down to the grave does not come up. We are blessed that Jesus did come up. Hallelujah. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set a guard over me? When I say my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaints, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my body. I loathe my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone. But my days are but a breath. What is a man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him? All right now, Job knows he's preaching now. That you should visit him every morning and test him every moment. Will you look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my saliva? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target, so that I am a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? But now I will lie down in the dust, and you will seek me diligently. but I will no longer be. And we know, it says, why then do you not pardon my transgressions and take away my iniquity? Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond a curse because Jesus took away our transgressions. He pardoned our transgressions and took away our iniquity. When he went on the cross and gave his life for us, we are blessed beyond a curse. We are blessed. We are pardoned children of God, adopted in by the blood of Jesus. And all we can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to love me even more than I love myself someday. We are God's sons and daughters, and we need to just say thank you. So many times we want to complain, but we need to just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me breath in my body. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a new day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, awesome and mighty God. Job 7 and 11, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And I love what Dr. Stanley tells us. He said, God instructs us to come to him with all our concerns, all our fears, all our hurts. He can take whatever we have to say, but he knows more about our suffering than we do. Because understand, we wouldn't be suffering if God didn't allow it. And that is the main thing we need to get out of Job, is that God allowed what happened to him. The Lord reigns on the just and the unjust. And the Lord shows mercy to who he wants to. And the Lord shows comfort to whoever he wants to. It is all in the hands of the Lord. And all we have to do is say, thank you. Whatever is going on in your life. I mean, I wanted to whine and complain. When I looked, drove up my driveway and saw my grass, I wanted to cry. Because my grass has never been that high, ever. My yard has never looked like it looks now because I can't get it done. Understand, God is in charge of everything. And I know that whatever the situation, I'm being humbled down. And I'm all right with it because God will humble you before he blesses you. And I know that I know I've been blessed. I've been, ooh, God has shown me how good he is. And I won't complain. I'm not going to complain. You know, Lord, I want this. Lord, I need that. No, Lord, I'm thankful for everything you've given me. As the song says, that he doesn't do nothing else. He's done enough. And we got to know that God has done enough in our life. Ooh, as the song, he blessed me once. He blessed me twice. All of my life, God has blessed me. And I can say that I have been blessed beyond a curse. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. And then it goes on to tell us in chapter 8 of Job, then Bildad, the Shuhite, answered and said, how long will you speak these things? And the words of your mouth be like a strong wind. Does God subvert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgression. If you would earnestly seek God and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you are pure and upright. Come on now, here's that judging friend spirit. Well, it must be you. Surely, now he would awake for you and prosper your rightful dwelling place. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end was increased abundantly. But inquire, please, of the former age and consider the things discovered by their fathers. For we were born yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are shadow. Will they not teach you and tell you the utter words from their heart? Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can the reeds flourish without water? while it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of who forget God. So are the paths of all who forget God. And the hope of the hypocrite shall perish, whose confidence shall be cut off, and whose trust is a spider's web. He leans on his house, but it does not stand. He holds it fast, but it does not endure. He grows green in the sun, and his branches spread out in his garden. His roots wrap around the rock deep and look for a place in the stone. If he is destroyed from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen you. Behold, this is the joy of his way. And out of the earth others will grow. Behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will he uphold the evildoer. He will yet fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. Those who hate you will be clothed with chains, and the dwelling place of the wicked will come to nothing. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in his life lesson from Job chapter 8, verse 4. If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgression. Job lost his sons tragically, and now his friend worsens his fame by suggesting that they had it coming. The truth is, we don't usually know the reason behind someone's misfortune, and to speculate like this is a sin. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. I don't know why my husband died at 56 years old. I don't know why my godparents died before I had children for them to see. I don't know why things happen the way they do. I don't know why I feel almost like my house is falling apart sometimes. But I know that it's not because my daddy God is keeping it together as he keeps me together. We got to understand. We don't know why we are in pain. We don't know why our legs swell or our joints tingle or our nerves tingle, or why we have this or that or the other. I don't know why I was in a hospital bed in the emergency room, but I know that God healed me, and I'm believing God for complete healing. I'm believing God that I will not have to have surgery on my arms. I am believing God that all things are working for my good. Why? Because I love him. Why? Because I trust him. Why? Because I know he's already worked it out. And if God says I have to have carpal tunnel surgery, then if God says I have to do it, then I'll do it. But until God tells me so, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to pray until something happens. Hallelujah. I'm going to push, and I'm going to continue pushing. Until God says, I'm pushing for you, baby. You can rest. Hallelujah. We got to trust the Lord and understand that God is merciful and God is good and God is confident. He is the one that chooses what he will do. You cannot force God to do anything. God is not an ATM, and God is not something you can manipulate. Someone you can manipulate into doing what you want. He's going to do what he wants to do, and he's going to do what's best for you. Hallelujah. God showed Job how to be humble. Even though he did everything right, he did everything by the rules. He followed the law to perfection. But God showed him how to love God and to trust God even in the midst. We're all going to go through. The question is, will we react? Psalms 92, verses 8 to 15. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn You have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Praise God. I'm claiming that. My hands raised up. I've been anointed with fresh oil. We got to claim our blessings. I've been anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. Come on now. Let's see, because it's always more. My eyes also have seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desires on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Hallelujah. We got to speak it. I say it again, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I claim that in my heart. The Lord is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God is good, and I'm claiming his mercy endures forever over me and mine, I, and over you and yours. We got to start speaking what we need to God. Lord, and making sure that even when we're going through, Lord, I thank you for the storm, for I know from this storm it's going to come a rainbow. Hallelujah. My covenant with you. We got to have our covenant with God. Don't get caught up in all the other stuff. Well, you know, they done stole the rainbow. Ain't nobody stole anything from you. The rainbow is the rainbow. Can't nobody steal it. Can't nobody replace it. Can't nobody misuse it. Understand, the rainbow is the rainbow. It is our covenant with God. And it is up there for you and for me. As I said again, the Lord reigns on the just and the unjust. God reigns on the good, the bad, and the ugly. God's mercy. Whew, it's for everybody. Just like God's punishment can be for everybody. Don't get caught up in the rhetoric and the foolishness of today. You know what? Because honestly, if you want to use that rainbow, make sure you know the Jesus and the Father God that comes with it. That's all I'm saying. Make sure you know the story of it, that you know where it came from, that it came from God as a covenant with Noah. And why did we have the flood in the first place? Read your Bible. Get to know the Lord God. So you use that rainbow. Understand what it means. That's all I'm saying. Because we all know what the enemy does. He will try to counterfeit anything that God has done. But we all know, and I'm sorry, if you don't like what I got to say, it's all right. But I'm going to say it. God's rainbow is God's rainbow. And don't you stop. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. As my mama says, you mind your business for 6 months, and you mind your business for 6 months. And so guess what? For 12 months, you minding your own business. We got to stay out of everybody else's bedroom and out of everybody else's business. What's going on with a woman and her doctor is between her and her doctor. And we need to get out of folks' personal business. Because I tell you what, someday somebody's going to be in yours. And you might not like it. Because maybe what you hiding in the dark, God's going to bring in the light. So the best thing to do is mind your business. And stop minding others. Now, if it comes to children being hurt or exploited, then yeah, you better be minding somebody else's business. That's a whole different ballgame. If somebody is hurting or harming, then yeah, you mind that business. But if it's something that is not going to hurt or harm, or kill, or steal, or destroy, we got to understand God's in charge of everything. God's in charge of the good. God's in charge of the bad. And God's in charge of the pretty and the ugly. God's in charge of it all. And understand, nothing happens unless God allows it. Even the horrible things, God has allowed it. and you break me down. You say, Lord, how can you allow children to be murdered? How can you allow people to disappear and be sold into slavery? How can you allow people to be beaten with? How could you allow your son to die for this sinful world? And then God would stop and speak to you because it was my will. Because it was my will. And when we pray the prayer for the Lord's prayer, your will be done. And when you pray that prayer, understand that God's will is not always ours. God's will is God's will. And all we have to do is be still and know that He is God. And we are His humble servants. We are His children. We are the workers in the vineyard. We are the ones trying to make it through to that door, to that gate. We're trying to make it in through the narrow gate. We're trying to make it in. As the sin said, if I can get my foot in the door, I'm going. Thank you. I'm getting my foot in. Whatever God needs me to do, do it in the big time. We can't allow folks to rush us into something God has told us to do. We got to be very, very careful. And this is a word that God gave me, that Dr. Stanley has given us, actually, for this life lesson from Psalm 92. And it says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Ooh, and this is what Dr. Stanley says. Bodies grow old and frail, but God wants us to bear fruit so long as we live on this earth. That kind of fruit may vary depending on our season of life. But He calls us to be fruitful in all seasons. Hallelujah. Are you being fruitful today? Are you bringing others to Christ? Are you providing acts of kindness? Or are you just sitting and complaining and talking about everybody else? We got to step up and say, Lord, for you I live. For you I die. We have to have our testimonies. If I perish, I perish. But loving God is the way we go. Trusting in God is the way we go. Knowing that all things work for good for those that love the Lord. Knowing that we are special, we are wonderfully made, we are called according to His purpose. Do you love God? You don't love God. What's wrong with you? You gotta love God. I love God. You don't love God. What's wrong with you? You gotta ask that. What? You better stop. You know, we got to stand up and be counted as those that love the Lord because He loves them. Proverbs 22:17-21, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. And again, that chapter for those that didn't hear me clearly is Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17-21. And again, the word says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today. Even you have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who sin to you. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. I tell you, as Paul is getting ready to talk to some folks, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. And I can say it right there with Paul. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also hear me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. It's like Paul wrote those words for me. But I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites to whom pertains the adoption, the glory of the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all eternally blessed God. Who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. In this life lesson from verse number 3, I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ for my brother. And I love this with Dr. Sally Delvis. He says, despite his frequent ill treatment at the hands of his Jewish countrymen, Paul had an intense desire that they come to faith in Christ and so experience the new life available in him. How badly do we want people to know Jesus? Whew, I get up every morning to do this vlog so people will know Jesus. Because I can tell you, I know Jesus, and I know how good he's been to me. Y'all, those that listen will tell you, I get emotional because I get filled up because I think about the goodness of God and all he's done for me. Hallelujah. We are not the circumstances of our birth. We are who God says we can be. We are not our circumstance. Just because your mom or your dad or your siblings or your household were on drugs or dealing drugs don't mean that you have to be a drug addict or a drug dealer. You can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. You can be a pastor. You can be whatever God calls you to be. The circumstances of your boo-boo in them life doesn't mean that you have to be boo-boo. Because your dad was boo-boo. And he lived down the street from your mom. And your mom wouldn't let you go down there with boo-boo and them. Because things was going on down there. Because she was just like you. She wanted to get down to boo-boo and them's house. Because they always had the fish fry. They always had the music bumping. They always had everything. They had the nice cars. They had the color TV. They had everything. But they also had a house full of things. We got to understand Jesus came for us for a purpose and a reason. And what we do is to study and meditate on his word so that we may be saved. To get to know him personally in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. And know that he's not just a concept, that he's real. He's real to me. And I pray he will be real to you. And this is what the word of God says, and Paul continues speaking, and this is what Paul told us. He says, it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. But they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is those who are children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. But this is the word promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one man, can we say that? By one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might sin, not of works, but of him who is called. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. You're like, what? God, you hated him? And then you're like, God. And then, I thought you loved everybody. But what it is, God loves those that do what's right, and he hates the sin. He loves the sinner, but hates the sin. He loved the fruit of Rachel's womb, but he hated the sin of one. Sin is sin. But understand this. And this is where our title comes from this morning. And it says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. Come on now. But he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. And we're like, but Lord, you didn't have compassion on Esau. But that's what he did. And it's what? He had mercy. And he had compassion. In this way. And we are not to judge God. Who are we? A little small speckles of sand on the ground. Just in the air. Going to tell God what to do. We can't. And I would never try. Because I know that I'm just a small, small speck in a gigantic universe. Whew, Jesus. And as we go back to life lessons, and the life lessons for Romans 9 and 15, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And this is where it says, God blesses people with his grace and mercy, not because they deserve it, but because it is God's nature to give grace and mercy. Neither grace nor mercy can be demanded. They can only be gratefully accepted. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm blessed to be a child of God. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm blessed in my good. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm blessed in my bad. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm blessed in my absolutely awesome and in my absolutely ugly. Because in each phase of our life, God is in charge. He's in charge of us when we're acting wrong. And he's in charge of us when we're acting good. And he reigns on the evil just like he reigns on the good. You just got to accept what God has for you, is for you. And understand that whatever God has for you, and it's irrevocable. Can't nobody take your blessing. Don't give your blessings away. Keep trusting God. And know that you are special through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Get to know him. Trust in him. And lift each other up. And I tell each other that. It's so easy to go to the phone and talk about everybody. But sometimes you need to go up. Look up, take it to the throne, and ask forgiveness. Father God, forgive me from my mouth. Forgive me for the things that I've said. Help me keep my tongue behind my teeth. For Lord God, I am not perfect. I am your creation, being made better every day. So thank God for everything you have. Praise God in the midst when you don't. And give him hallelujah praise when he provides what you need when you least expect. Because he's that kind of God. He's a miracle worker. And he loves us. And that is all I have this morning. I have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And then it's a wrap. Because I have to go to work, y'all. Hallelujah. And I thank God for my employment. Hallelujah. I thank God for his grace and for his mercy. And Sister Carolyn has not sent her word in yet this morning. So we will have Sister Carolyn's word tomorrow. As if you want to go in and look at our word for tomorrow, we will be God willing and the creek going to rise for real. Job chapter 9, verse 2, through chapter 10, verse 22. 93rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 through 23. And Romans chapter 9, verses 16 through 33. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Before we get out of here again this morning, our prayer for this morning from our 365 Days of Prayer for Life. Let's read it and see what today's word is. You know, got to do it just before we were ready to get out there. We have our word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. From Carolyn's gift this morning is, when stepping out and say, yes, in your church, say amen. You will be amazed at the results. It's never too late for a new beginning with God. Have a motivated Monday, family. Right on time word. Woo, thank you, Sister Carolyn. Again, when stepping out in faith, you will be amazed at the results. It's never too late for a new beginning with God. Have a motivated Monday. Have a motivated day, family. And know that you are blessed beyond measure because you are a child of God. And he loves you. He loves you. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't have sent his son to die for us and to take our sins on that old record cross. Hallelujah. And a word for this morning is this. Help me. Ooh, we all need that someday. We all need it every day. We all need help. Help me. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Oh, glory! Let's say it again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Exodus 14 and 14. ESV. Defend your power to fight on my behalf is more than sufficient. You are perfect in your ways. You don't fight dirty, but you also know how to make the enemy flee. It is so hard to not come to my own defense when I've been wrongly accused. I just want them to know how wrong they are. But what good would that do? They wouldn't listen to me anyway. I can trust you to represent me well and rightly. You won't distort the truth. You won't try to cover the reality to protect anyone's ego. You are the most qualified defender there is, and you never fail. Help me to rest in your ability, Lord. May I keep my mouth shut and keep living the way I have been for you. I trust that you see the truth of the matter, and you will make all things right. Can you let God into the place of defending you instead of trying to do it on your own? Ooh, That is a word this morning. I just can't do nothing more than say thank you, Lord, and pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, family. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever and all time. Say this morning, amen, amen, amen. Giving honor to God and letting God work in our life. And this is our question for today as we end the word. Can you let God into the place of defending you instead of trying to do it on your own? Have a blessed day, family. It's a what? It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed and have a great day. And God willing, please join me tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time as we move forward in the Word of God. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.